Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what do you think about Mr. Tony Romo?
Oh, man. I think what Chris Collinsworth summed it all up, when you're talking about winners, you always have to talk about the loser, and then the camera just pans in on Tony Romo looking sad.
Dude, they almost had that. It's like they had that sad stocking cap ready for a Romo like collapse. Just did you see that cap that he had on? It was like a cowboy's hat, and then it just had this big goofy like white puff on top of it that he had to throw on his hat.
That's the hat. Yeah, it really does. It goes so well with the situation.
And Bob Costas goes. It's never a great sign if you're a professional athlete and. Bob Costas comes on and goes, "We're all feeling a little sorry for Tony Romo right now." Hey, speak for yourself, Bob Costas. Romo had plenty of chances to win. I feel no sympathy for that man.
I would go, and I'll also say, I'm in Virginia now, so I watched the game at a Redskins bar, and the Redskins are, first of all, it's one of those bars that cuts in like music and stuff when it's commercials. And whenever the Redskins scored, they would play "Hail to the Redskins," and people were hugging each other as if they just won the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, hey, it kind of is for the Ryan. Not everyone, you know, has won two Super Bowls in 6 years, so for them, it feels like a Super Bowl victory. I mean, when was the last time the Redskins were in the playoffs? Or I think it was a Someone held up a sign that said, "We're going to party like it's 1999.
Well, that was the last time they won.
That was the last they had a home playoff game.
Yeah, that was the last time they won the division.
All right, Ryan. Quick side note. The Philadelphia Eagles formally let go of longtime head coach and executive vice president of football operations, Andy Reid. Great man. He will be missed. He was the greatest Eagles coach of all time. Sure, we had some differences from now and again. I mean, really, if you look at it, the story of Andy Reid and his demise was that he couldn't find someone to take over Jim Johnson. He could never recapture that magic the defense had. And really, if you think about it, normally, if you have a great coach like Andy Reid, you have like a long run. Normally, the coach is let go after they lose their franchise quarterback or after all their assistants have been picked off for better head coaching jobs. But he was kind of given a second life when Michael Vick had those great games a couple years back. I mean, really, it probably should have been the end of the Andy Reid era after Donovan McNabb left. But he bought himself some more time and possibly a chance at rebuilding with Michael Vick. That didn't work out, but overall, Andy Reid, great coach. He will be missed, but definitely time to turn the page.
Yeah, I am very excited for the next eras in Philadelphia football sports because it just seems like they're not going to bounce back quickly.
Yeah,
they do have talent though. So
they have some talent. Yeah, I mean, are they going to make the playoffs next year? That would probably be a stretch. But if you told me this team right now with some adjustments, a decent draft, and some of the young players buying into a new coach, could they win 9 games next year? That doesn't sound crazy to me at all. Are they a Super Bowl contender next year or maybe even 2 years out? Probably not, but maybe. I mean, that's the thing with the NFL. The turnaround is so short right now. if you're hiring someone who says it's going to be more than 3-4 years, I don't know. I think that to me is a little bit crazy because really, and the Giants showed it, the Packers showed it. There does seem to be a formula out there. If you're a wild card team or if you just get into the playoffs, you have a legit shot at winning the Super Bowl, and you can get into the playoffs at 9-7. So
yeah, the one thing is it does require a quarterback. So that would be where the Eagles, you know, maybe they'll keep Vic, maybe they'll not, but, you know, we'll see.
And maybe Foles will develop. We'll see. A lot of questions we have for the Eagles. We got a lot to take care of, Ryan. Just for the listeners out there, we're going to recap week 17, recap our season win totals, and then we'll do a little college bowl picks. And then the next episode, this is actually kind of like a mini bonus episode we're throwing in. The next episode will be fully dedicated to Wild Card Weekend coming up. So let's take care of this last weekend, week 17, starting off Tampa Bay at Atlanta. I think the spread closed at Tampa Bay getting 3.5.
Yep. Looks like 3.5, depending on where you bet it.
Atlanta didn't need this game, still play their starters, lost outright at home. Yeah. Tampa got 3.5 and won outright. Kind of surprising, but not really. Weird game.
I didn't watch much of this game, but from following the score on the Red Zone channel, spread was never really in question. I don't know. I did see Matt Ryan take some hits. It was one of those things like mid fourth quarter, he was getting drilled. So
two of their starters got banged up. I think, Abraham had a sprained ankle.
Oh man.
And, one of the D-backs, I think, could be wrong here. One of the D-backs, I think, suffered possibly a concussion. So interesting play here. They do have a bye week. So any of those minor nicks, they should be fine. I think they're just paranoid about their previous losses in the playoffs, so they don't want to get criticized for resting their players week 17. Week 17, a great week for the Buffalo Bills at home, who got to welcome the New York Football Jets, who did whatever they could not to play Tim Tebow and not to win a game. They lost by 19 points, 28-9. We thought maybe the Jets, 3.5, that crafty hook, but nope, Buffalo covered that with ease. Sanchez looked awful once again. Hopefully his last game as a starting quarterback for fans all around. And Buffalo proving it is the best, worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the only play I saw from this game was the CJ Spiller, like, screen pass touchdown. God, the Jets, if you can only score 9 points against the Bills, you're just awful.
Very. Not a great team. All right, Ryan, moving on. AFC North, Cincinnati was at home, and they welcomed the Baltimore Ravens, who didn't need the game. Baltimore played their starters, I think, for one series, then brought in the backups. Cincinnati worked in a lot of backups, too, at different points. They won the game outright 23-17 and covered the 2.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, neither team needed this game.
But, yeah, like we said, why wouldn't this spread be 3 since he's at home? Makes sense here for the pick.
Yeah, I like the play, especially once they brought in Tyrod Taylor, the backup quarterback, although he did look good at times.
Tyrod had some movement and also just gave him the different look. They ran the option a few times for the Ravens. But, yeah, obviously they don't want to show too much, even if – I mean, it doesn't seem like Tyrod's going to get any playoffs.
Now, the thing is this spread – went all the way up to between 5 and 7, depending on where you bet it.
Oh, wow.
Close to kickoff with the news that they basically were going to play Flacco for a series. So depending on where you bet it, you might have gotten a cover, you might not have gotten a cover.
All right, Ryan. Well, it sounds like everyone covered if they had the Detroit Lions at home as 3-point dogs. Chicago desperately needed the win to get into the playoffs, or to keep their playoff hopes alive, which, of course, were vanquished later when the Minnesota Vikings won. But they needed the win not only to keep their playoff hopes alive, but to crush the New York Giants' playoff hopes. We'll get to that in a second. Chicago won 26-24. Unfortunately, weren't able to cover the spread as a 3-point favorite. Oh, yeah. Man, this classic you know, this was, we were just talking about this, like Detroit at home, 3 points, 3.5. Oh man, that's statistically, that's the play. But then just in, I don't know about you, but in my head, I was just like, man, I've been screwed by Detroit so much. Chicago really needs this game. I really feel like Chicago's going to win this game. What are the odds they win by 2 or 1? And that's what happens.
Yeah, I was in the weird spot of rooting for Chicago to lose for the Giants' playoff hopes, but also at the same time needing Chicago to win to cash my season win total bet. So it was one of those like, all right, at least if the Giants won't make the playoffs, I'll cash this bet. And I don't know. It was just overall, it was a pretty sad day of watching football.
Sad, sad day, Ryan. Sad is a perfect adjective to describe the Jacksonville Jaguars, who got shellacked in Tennessee 38-20. There was a record broken here, Ryan. The Tennessee Titans scored 28 points in 5 minutes without running an offensive play, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. That is the first time that has ever happened, proving me right that whatever you can do, don't bet on the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. Tennessee covered the 4-point home spread easily.
Yeah, God, I wasn't watching the game, but I was catching the highlights on Red Zone, and it was just like, really, it was like kickoff return, punt return, interception. It was crazy.
Crazy. It was a really exciting game for two teams that you thought, well, obviously had nothing to play for a long time, but very exciting, entertaining game.
Yeah.
Shoot over to the AFC South. Houston was in the running for a potential number one spot in the playoff seeds, or in the playoff seeding. Needed a win against Indianapolis, but could they do it? No. Indianapolis has a 7-point home dog with nothing to play for except for pride and Chuck Pagano. As predicted by me, Indianapolis Colts took care of business 28-16, Ryan.
Yeah, this was, man, I don't know if you watched, did you watch this game, Sean?
Yeah, I saw a decent amount of it because they were over a lot in the red zone.
Did you see that 3rd and 20 when Andrew Luck stepped up in the pocket? It might have been 3rd and 27.
Oh, that crazy where they said he was throwing the ball, but it wasn't.
No. Oh, not okay. The perfect seam pass for a touchdown to T.Y. Hilton, I think it was.
Man, yeah, no, I saw that in the highlights. That was great.
That was unbelievable. Houston really looked like shit.
Not a way. They basically went from potentially having a number one seed to now they don't even have a first round bye. Not a way you want to start off your – not just the complete opposite of momentum or anything moving into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to betting on the Texans.
No, I'm scared of them. Carolina Panthers went in New Orleans and won outright as a 5-point dog, 38 against the Saints. Ryan, you're pretty high on the Panthers, and the Panthers won 4 in a row to close out the season 7-9. I don't know. I guess Ron Rivera has another year. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are why couldn't they have gotten one more win early so I could have cashed that over ticket?
Well, we'll get to that after we wrap up the Week 17 action. Plenty of the NFL win totals came down to the last week, as you'd expect in the 16-game season. All right, Ryan, my Philadelphia Eagles playing but nothing but pride, and Andy Reid came up empty-handed in Giants Stadium, 42-7. They got worked by the Giants. Not much of a contest. There was a faint flicker of hope early when the Eagles started the game off with a surprise onside kick, which they recovered. Classic Andy Reid trick. They got it, started driving down. I started getting a little bit excited, like, maybe this, kind of win one for the Gipper, a little bit of pride here. And then Michael Vick threw an interception, and the wheels came off the season once again. Nnamdi Asamoah was pulled for rookie Curtis Marsh for poor play. Just this season, or this game in particular, was a great analogy for the entire Eagles season. They had a couple of nice plays, but were just completely outweighed by turnovers, poor defense, and just guys not playing hard.
Yeah, and the Giants playing this well, like Oh, God, they're clear. Like, when they play like that, they're clearly one of the best teams in the league. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating because kind of what they unleashed on the Eagles, you would have, you're a Giants fan, you would have loved to see them roll that into the playoffs. Definitely were firing on all cylinders, jacked up at home. But to no avail, as they will be sitting home with the Eagles in the postseason. Ryan, one of our locks of the weeks, or game I definitely felt great about, the Pittsburgh Steelers at home laying 6, maybe 7 against the Cleveland Browns. Thad Lewis's first game as a pro, and they won handily. Well, I mean, they won by 2 scores, 24-10. Although this game was definitely closer than it seemed.
It was in doubt, and this is another one. The spread crept all the way up to like 10 or 11 at kickoff. So, this was a crazy. It was oddly close until the like mid third quarter. Actually, it was really fourth quarter when the Pittsburgh really kind of took over.
Denver Broncos at home playing for the number one seed, or at least a possibility for the number one seed if New England ended up losing, which New England didn't. Denver won, so they're the number two seed. They destroyed the Kansas City Chiefs 38-3. Not much to say here. Been off on Kansas City ever since their emotional win after the Belcher story. This team is completely broken. Not much to say here. Denver looks great, and they're on a roll.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing that really to add to that. Denver looks awesome.
Minnesota Vikings at home won 37-34, secured their spot in the playoffs while also eliminating the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants. Chicago Bears not in the playoffs after starting 7-1.
That's impressive.
That's pretty rare it's pretty rare not even to make the playoffs at 10-6, but let alone after you start 7-1. So, Vikings. Adrian Peterson, oh man, was that close. He was 9 yards short of breaking the record. But hey, the consolation prize of getting into the playoffs, you got to be happy there.
Yeah, and he seemed to legitimately not know that he was 9 yards away, which I feel like I got to give him credit for that.
Oh, Pam Oliver said, you were 9 yards short. That's got to hurt. He goes, 9 yards? 9 yards? Oh, all right, yeah. You could tell he was a little upset then, but... he had no idea. I mean, classic team player.
He's such a beast.
Just insane. This happened, you know, breaking 2,000 yards like this 371 days after rupturing your ACL. You got to give it up to Adrian Peterson. What an athlete and a seemingly good guy. Oh, man. Not a lot of good guys up in New England. Belichick and the bunch. They blew out the Miami Dolphins 28-0. Man, I thought Miami would give them a little fight. Not the case. Blowout win for the Patriots, rolling into the playoffs. I thought Gronk wasn't going to play, but he did, and he looked good, got a touchdown pass. So
I wish
for New England to make some noise.
I wish Belichick would send out a memo when his team's going to try. God, it just seems like such easy money when they try.
It is. It's crazy. San Diego Superchargers at home, possibly North Turner's last game. Beat the Oakland Raiders 24-21, although they handled a Terrell Pryor pretty well. This score was a lot closer than it may sound. New England, of course, covered that 10-point spread in Miami. Ryan, do you remember what the spread was in Oakland?
It was 7 or 8. I think it crept up to 10 at kickoff.
So, yeah, Oakland probably, yeah, backdoor. Oakland covered backdoor with that late Terrell Pryor lob pass touchdown. San Francisco 49ers were at home, and they were laying 16.5, a little too much for this 49ers team, although they were able to beat Arizona by 14 at home. I didn't really watch a ton of this game, to be honest, but it seemed like a classic just taking care of business and getting ready for the playoffs.
I feel like this San Francisco team is one of the worst. Actually, I feel like the two teams in the NFC with the byes are the worst two bye teams I can remember in the playoffs. I really don't, not that anyone particularly stands out in the NFC, but man, I just don't, like, I'm not terrified of either one of these. I mean, I saw a fair amount of that San Francisco game today. They just didn't look great. They were playing a bad Arizona team and they didn't blow them out.
Yeah. That being said, though, I think this San Francisco team is going to be up, and I predict they're going to play well in the second round of the playoffs.
Well, maybe.
Seattle Seahawks at home after a huge win against the 49ers. I wouldn't call it a letdown game, but they won 20-13 against the Rams, 10.5-point spread. Rams covered. I thought Seattle would keep their role going, but only put out 20 points. Tough to blame these guys. They're probably resting up for wild card weekend.
And the Rams kind of showed that you can run on the Seahawks a little bit.
Yeah, but like I said, this, I mean, you want to talk about crazy trap game potential. This one definitely had it written all over it. But Seattle was able to win by 7, 10.5-point spread. Couldn't cover it. And, of course, the Sunday night game, the Washington Redskins at home beat the Dallas Cowboys 28-18, securing their spot in the NFC East crown, or securing their NFC crown, NFC East crown, and a spot in the playoffs. So, I don't know, Ryan, any thoughts on this game? Classic Romo choke job, like I touched on earlier.
Yeah, you know, it's perfect because now we get to hear about it again next year, about how great Tony Romo is. He just hasn't won the big game.
But now, do you think, I feel like the narrative might change right now. Like, I feel like this is the game where the media and possibly even Jerry Jones jumps off the Tony Romo ship.
No, the same thing happened last year when they, going into the last week of the season, them versus the Giants, and Tony Romo goes out and throw, I believe he threw 2 interceptions. It was almost the same game.
Yeah, well, this time he threw 3. And either way.
Oh, man, how great was that last interception?
It was so great, because I actually had money on the Skins -3. So I was like, oh, man, they're up 3. And then it was that, you know, oh, man, now, even if they get the ball back, they're probably going to run the clock out. And then you get that flicker of hope of, oh, what about a pick 6?
Yeah.
And it was almost even better than a pick 6. They intercepted it, ran a ton of time off, and then scored the touchdown to ice the cover in the game. Okay, Ryan. Well, it's the end of the NFL regular season, so why not take a look back to when we made our over-under win total predictions and see how we did.
All right, Sean. Do you have the actual standings up?
I have the standings up, and I have prediction.
I got our selections, so you go with the actual total. First, we'll start. We'll just go right in the order we did them. AFC East, New England. The line was 12. We both thought it was an over. I thought it was a bettable over. You thought it was a layoff. As it turns out, that game against San Francisco really, the game against Arizona early is what cost them. They started off slow. They end up roaring back, lose to San Francisco, and end up with a nice, hearty push here, which is never fun when you're betting.
Nope. So, yeah, pushed at 12.
Nice push. So, we'll chalk that up as an 0-0-1 for us.
Okay.
The Jets, 8.5. What was their final win? They got, 6 or 7?
7.
7?
No, 6, sorry.
6, yeah. I thought this was over, but laying off. You thought it was an under. So chalk that. Give it to you in the win column there.
I think we both had layoff on that one, but.
Yeah, we both had layoff.
You thought they were going to win that. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, I thought I had an over, slight lean on the over. All right. Next up, Bills, 7.5. Oh. What was the final win total?
6.
We both had a lean on the over, but would suggested a layoff there. Not a good start for us.
Nope.
And lastly, Miami, which, what was their final win total?
7.
All right, the line was 7.5, and we both suggested an under, but layoff. So nice win there, luckily. I mean, I feel like that's a fairly lucky under.
So wait, sorry, real quick to catch up. So let's see.
Right now, I am 1-2-1 with a push on an actual bet I made, and you are.
I'm 2-1-1.
You are 2-1-1.
Okay, cool.
Keeping track of this, Sean?
Yeah, no, I'll keep track of the totals, and I'll read you off the actual standings,
right,
and then we'll tally it up.
Next up, Baltimore 10. We both like the over as a bet, and what do you know? Push.
Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't have any actual money on that, but you got to be – see, this is where you get jabbed on these win totals. When when Tyrod Taylor comes in after the first possession.
You can't. But if you just look at it, they had nine. They were 9-2, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a solid bet. You had plenty of chances to hedge it. I mean, really, if you had the over on this, once they hit nine, you could have just kept betting loss and made a nice chunk of change.
All right, next up, Pittsburgh, 10 wins. Of course, this came in under. We both liked the under, but laid off actually betting on it.
Yeah, well, we'll just say we'll just go with the over-under, and then if we actually say bet it, we'll just call it one of our best bets.
All right. Next up, Cincinnati. We both like the under here. No bet involved. It was 8.5. It came in over. Nice loss there.
Loss for both of us.
And Cleveland, 5.5. How many wins did they get?
Oh, man. Cleveland came in right at 5. How did I not win 6-6 game?
I had the under. You had the over. Neither of us bet it.
Man, but they feel like a 6-win team.
They did feel like a 6-win team. So through two divisions, what are our records looking at?
We're both 3-3-2.
All right. Not losing. All right. Next up, Houston, 10 wins. We both like the over, but not good enough to bet it.
We both hit that.
Tennessee, 7. We both like the under a lot. We both suggested it as a best bet. And Kutching, although shockingly, Tennessee won 6 games. Did they not?
Yep.
That's crazy. Jacksonville at 5.5. I somehow like the over. You like the under. We don't need to talk about that. And Indy, wow, this is where we start to look stupid, Sean. Indy, 5.5. We both like the under.
Well, that's fun, because I turned on this Indy team real quick.
So. You really did.
All right. Hold on. Let me take out the
calculator, figure out our records.
Yeah, let's see here. So, hold on. I don't know, Ryan, were you keeping track of these?
Oh, we were 3, what did you say, 3-3-2.
Oh, after 2. Yeah, hold on.
So then, you know, simple arithmetic tells me that I went 2-2 in this division, and you went 3-1.
So you went 2-2. I went 3-1. So I'm at 6-4-2, and you're at
5-5-2. 5-5-2. That's right.
Okay.
All right. Next up, the AFC West. Ooh, Denver. Under or 8.5 was the line. I, of course, was down on this team. Wasn't sure about Peyton Manning. Had under as one of my best bets. You also liked the under slightly. Did not bet it. We were both horribly wrong, as this is now one of the best teams in the league. The San Diego Superchargers coming in at 9 wins. You liked the over. I liked the under as one of my best bets. Wow, what a disappointment that Chargers team was this year.
I mean they won 7. They clearly cut that to 9-9.
They probably should have. Next up, Oakland at 7. What was Oakland's final win total?
4.
We both liked the over. Not enough to say it was a best bet, but we both liked the over. And Kansas City at 8 wins. Oh my. We both liked the under. You liked it as a best bet. I wish I'd put my life savings on this. God. How was that set at 8 in hindsight? That's crazy.
So, all right. Yeah. We took that easy. At least the Oakland part. I never have a on the AFC West, to be honest. And so I won in 3-3 there. Bring my little 7-7 and 2. You went 2-2-2 or 7-7-7-2.
Wow, it's comical at this point. All right, NFC East. Oh boy. All right, Giants 9.5.
It was really close too.
I know you like the. I actually saw somewhere where this was the most teams ever going in the that win totals were going to be decided in the last week. It was like 17 teams or something like that. The Giants were 9.5. I like the over. You like the under. Neither was a best bet. Philly at 10. Oof. Should have put my life savings on that too. We both like the under. Dallas 8.5. Ka-ching. We both like the under as a best bet. And Washington at 6. We both like the over, but not enough to call it a best bet.
All right, all right. And so it was a nice. I went defeated there.
I went defeated
and went 3 in there. So brings your total 10-8-8. Ooh, I'm at 11-7-2.
Nice job. All right. Yep. Next up, Green Bay. Win total at 12. What was their final win total?
7.
Oh, we both like the under. Not enough to make it a best bet. Chicago Bears, 9.5. We both like the over as a best bet and just snuck it in there.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like we were unlucky.
We were unlucky and lucky at the same time with this one, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Detroit, 9.5. We both thought this was a crazy line. We both liked the under. For some reason, neither of us made it a best bet. And Minnesota, we both liked the under, not as a best bet, but at 6. Oh man. I remember thinking about this as like, oh, maybe you would take the Minnesota over just because I don't want to take under for 3 teams in the division. But I did not. So once again, actually no, I went 3-1. We both went 3-1 in this division.
So you're at 9-2, 15-8-2.
All right, Sean. Really catching up here. All right, NFC South.
I didn't do well here. I got to look.
New Orleans at 10 wins. I like the under. You like the over. Neither had a best bet. Atlanta at 9. Wow, what a low total. I had the over. You had the under. Neither were best bets. This one's the kicker. Carolina at 7.5. We both had the over as best bets. And somehow, and I knew this was going to happen. They started off, what, like 2-8. And then what do? They go and win like 6 out of the last 7 games to finish, or 5 out of the last 7 games, 6 games to finish right at 7-9 and to cash that under ticket. And lastly, Tampa Bay, what was their final record, Sean?
Tampa Bay, they were 7-9.
Oh, the line was at 6. We both liked the over. Oh man, that's
so let's see. I went 1-3 there. And what did you get? And 3-1.
I went 3-1.
I went 1-3. Damn. All right, so you, Brian, taking the lead here. 16-2, 10-2. I'm fitting 11-2 too.
All right, both doing pretty solid. All right, yep. NFC West. I was all over the San Francisco under at 10 wins. It was one of my best bets. You liked the over, was not a best bet, and I feel slightly robbed by this one. That damn San Francisco game screwed me both ways with the San Francisco and the New England bets. Arizona. What was their final record, Sean?
They were 5-11.
All right.
Although I don't know how. Now, technically in the podcast, over, but in my MT week, I said I take the under. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's some line change here or whatever, but I don't remember taking the over here in the same team, but I'll stay.
You took the over. I took the under. Seattle, 7 wins. We were both on the over here, and that turned out to be an easy cash. And St. Louis, 6. Man, we both had the under here. That leaves me at 2-2 for the division, and you 1-3?
No, I also 2-2.
Oh, you went 2-2 also. You're correct.
Oh man, came down to the wire. So you went and filled the win totals 18-12-2. I went.
That's not bad.
No, I went 17-13-2, not bad. But in this best bets, I went 4-4-1-1.
Nice.
So not too shabby. And Ryan, let me see. You had best more bets this bet than I did. So
I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe.
Okay. What was? Let's see. You got. Right.
I went 4-3-2.
All right. So not as but hey, you know, still at the end of the day, we're winners, Ryan.
Yep, a win is a win, Sean.
That's all these fans ask for.
All right.
Speaking of which, guys. Sorry. What were you gonna get to?
Oh, I was gonna say no. Go ahead.
No. You want to get what you get to real quick?
Oh, I was gonna say, should we before we get into the bowl preview, should we try to guess the playoff lines?
Yeah, we'll try to guess the playoff lines. And for everyone listening about NFL, the NFL pin, that will be a winner. I mean, obviously, go out and figure it out online. So inclined, but the winner. First annual sports gambling help NFM contest will announce in the playoff pod later this week, hopefully Thursday morning. Okay, Ryan, yeah, let's try to guess. I have honestly not looked at any of the spreads. Let's try to guess.
I am not sure. I'm looking at the schedule, the NFL schedule, and
okay.
I will scroll just enough to see the line after we guess that game. The first game, of course, Saturday. Cincinnati heads to Houston. 4:30 start. I will throw out my guess first. I'm gonna say Houston is favored by 3.5.
I'll say Houston by 4.
All right, and the winner is. Oh, we'll go by the Las Vegas hotel opening lines. Houston, favored by 4.5.
Ooh. I think 4.5.
I don't want to take too much material from our playoff pod, but I like the dog. All right. Next up, the night game. We got a rematch of week 17. Minnesota heads to Green Bay. Ooh. Now, this is one of those where I know the spread is going to seem too big. Because of what just happened this week, I think this has to be more than a touchdown. I say it's Green Bay by 7.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the odds makers never adjust too much based on one game. That game was in Minnesota, and the spread was Green Bay minus 3.5. So if you do the math, that brings the spread into what? Swing it over. That's 6.5, 7. I think they're going to make it more than 7 because I think Packer backers are going to bet them whether it's 7, 7.5.
All right. Say, Green Bay 6.5. I think it'll be a little tighter.
And the winner is, oh, Sean, I hit it. 7.5.
Nice.
I like the dog. I think Minnesota really exploited, the weakness of Green Bay, which is pass protection.
It's always tough. Those teams playing, yeah.
You don't want to overreact too much. All right, Sean. Oh, the early game on Sunday. Your Indianapolis Colts head to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Baltimore is so bad. I don't think this can be 3. I think they're going to give Baltimore a little more respect than that. For some reason, I think that Indy hasn't been getting respect all year with the line. I'm saying this will be Baltimore by 4.
Baltimore 3.5.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Oh, my, Sean. Baltimore by 6.5?
Oh, yes.
What?
Yes.
I truly don't understand. I mean, have they watched Baltimore play? Indy can win that game.
Yeah. Right. I definitely gave up. Well, whatever. Hey, let's not give away the picks. There's going to be plenty of playoff props sure, too.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Seahawks
head to Washington. I gotta believe, this is Seattle going coast to coast. Washington, I'm going to say this is Washington by 2.5.
I say skin by one. By one.
All right. Oh, whoa. Seattle by 2.5. Heyo. Really? A home dog. I like a home dog that's not from the AFC. Wow. I don't. All right. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to give away any of my thoughts, but man. I like the Dodgers. Yeah, very exciting. All right, Sean. Do we have any other NFL season wrap-up material to get through before we hit the luscious bowl slate?
Nope. I think that's it. Right. If there are subscribers to the podcast, now this is trying it out. We could encounter technical difficulties, but listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you can call and leave a voicemail. You're giving your NFL picks. We will on them on the air. Assume everything goes right at that part. The call-in call number for the Scheming Podcast is 323-522-5567. And basically, it's a signal, so you'll get some smell, boys, but leave a message. You can not do it anonymously, or you can throw out your Twitter or handle, or whatever you want to go by. Your ESPN pick'em handle, or you whatever you want.
Sean, we should require a handle. You got to back up your opinion.
Yeah, that's true. All right, yeah, go by. Name your name. Give yourself enough a name. Go if you want to go by. Playoff for the wild weekend. Leave a voice on 323-522-5567.
All right, Sean.
And I'll do best our best technically to get all set up and we include it in the podcast. We're gonna be taping the podcast late Wednesday night West Coast time. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you guys have time to call and leave a voice.
Perfect. All right, Sean. Let's get started with these bowl games, huh?
Let's do it.
All right. So we got a nice, now we got some games on New Year's Eve day. Not going to touch on them all, but I figured I'll touch on a couple. The first one is at 2 p.m. Eastern. The mighty Trojans of USC take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in the Hyundai Sun Bowl. Of course, this bowl game is getting a ton of press for the swag bag that includes a hair dryer. If you want to have some fun, Google Hyundai Sun Bowl swag bag, I think it is. And you almost feel bad for the players. They're getting the worst crap ever. Anyway, USC is a 7.5-point favorite. The total sits at 62.5. Matt Barkley is not playing in this game. I gotta be honest. I don't know what to think about these games. This is one of those where, hey, which team is actually gonna care about this bowl game? I think Georgia Tech's gonna, I know USC is coming back off the bowl ban. I think Georgia Tech cares more. They are going into the bowl game with an exemption because they went 6-7. But I think Georgia Tech has more to play for. I think USC will be disinterested as they are typically not playing in this lower caliber of game. I say grab Georgia Tech and the 7.5 points.
I'm on board with that, Kramer. I like Tech Georgia Tech getting 7.5. I kind of agree with logic here. Just I fade Trojans.
Yeah.
Last couple games and just the second half of the season, just really, really disappointment. You can just tell this team is not, I don't know, just they're not rallying around. Their defensive coordinator, Lane Kiff, dad leaving, or basically, he says he's in already. It sounds like he was fired or be let go.
Yeah.
That just, general, any coach who, I think I've come up with this, Ryan. I don't know what the odds ATs, but any coach basically any that doesn't have coach like the season that's coach different bowl game or any sort of image personnel moves going on in the coaching staff, I look to fade that team.
Yep, I don't disagree with you. All right, Sean. I'm going to touch on one more New Year's Eve game. We got at 7:30 Eastern. We got the LSU Tigers and the Clemson Tigers. They both happen to play in, this is crazy. They both play in, they're both Tigers, and I believe they both call their stadiums Death Valley. anyway, they're playing in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which of course is played in Atlanta, Hotlanta, at the Georgia Dome, where LSU is a 6-point favorite. The total is 58.5. I felt a little torn with this game, but at the end of the day, I feel like LSU is one of the best teams in the country. I know Clemson can put up points and score with the best of them, but they have not faced a defense like LSU. I think it will overwhelm them. And at the end of the day, Clemson is from the ACC, and the ACC is very, very down this year. I know Clemson can put up points, but I think they rely too much on scoring. Their defense is not good at all. Their defense relies on turnovers when they're up in games. I like LSU here to roll and win big.
I'm with your pick. I like LSU -6. Yeah. SEC organization, top bottom, and I don't mean, but basically winning organization, SEC team. They've led all year. They should probably beat Alabama. I think they're gonna travel to the bowl game, and it's gonna be right. So in favor LSU, they're gonna win by 10 points. So, all right. 6-6.
All right, Sean. Now we're gonna move on to. Remember when we were kids, Sean, and New Year's Day was nothing but bowl games.
Yep.
There are now 6 bowl games on New Year's Day. 6 bowl games. All right, so let's.
Crazy.
Yeah, let's get started. First of all, the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Very exciting. These names are getting more comical every day also. Not sure where obviously this is played in Dallas. I'm not sure if it's played at the Jerry Jones Stadium. I'm guessing it is. Purdue, who went 6-6, takes on Oklahoma State, where Oklahoma State is 17-point favorites. This Purdue team was not very good all year. I know they played close with Ohio State, and I know I don't like to really promote taking heavy chalk, but this Oklahoma State team can score for days, and they can play a little defense too. I know their record doesn't suggest that they were great this year. I just rarely am I going to say I'm going to take a 17-point favorite, but I got to put my lean on Oklahoma State here. Odds are I won't play the game, but if I was going to play it, that would be the only side I could play.
Randall, give you the Purdue play, and here's why. Just looking at the consensus, at a 72% consensus right now in Oklahoma State, 72% consensus laying 17 points with an over-under at 16, suggests to me I'll need that 17. So give me Purdue getting 17 in a bowl game.
Yeah, can't argue, but like I said, I'll probably lay off this one. All right, next up, the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. Wow, TaxSlayer.com getting in the mix. Mississippi State from the SEC takes on Northwestern, who finished the season ranked 20th out of the Big Ten. I know they got a young kid, a bit of a mobile quarterback. Usually I would take the representative of a better conference, but this Northwestern team is scrappy, and I like the way that they find a way to get wins. The spread is -1. The total is 52. I like Northwestern here. Basically a pick 'em. And, normally I would go with the SEC team, but I like this Northwestern team. I feel like they are prepared. And they will be prepared to face this Mississippi State attack, which really isn't much more than a running attack. So I'm going to go here with Northwestern.
Yeah. I'm fun bear. You got a ranked opponent, the non-ranked, and you're only giving up point in a bowl game. That's a formula for me that I want to get on. Like you said, Northwestern is going to scrap. So yeah, give me Northwestern lane 1.
All right. Next up, the Outback Bowl, where South Carolina. Minus their star running back, Latimer, who will be out for a while, but entering the NFL draft with his torn ACL, will be taking on Michigan and the Denard Robinson exit game, I believe. This is tough for me. Michigan is getting 5.5 points here. South Carolina has a really good defense. But, man, I don't like Connor Shaw. I haven't liked him his whole career. This is Denard Robinson's last game. And I'm going to go with Michigan in the points here. I just don't like this set. This is the second SEC team I'm fading. I just don't like Connor Shaw. I don't think he's a very good player. I think they're not the same without Latimer, and I think they might not be as interested in this game as Michigan.
They'll go to South Carolina. They're from the SC. I kind of like the injured players. They're rally around the fact that they don't have Latimer there. And man, I just have no luck. Ben Bernard Robinson this year he's burned way too many times. His game's way too inconsistent. You need more examples at Floyd Mayweather, who bet like 400,000 played Michigan when they played Alabama. So I'm gonna keep fading our season.
All right. Next up, the Capital One Bowl played in beautiful Orlando, where I got to see the Russell's Athletic Bowl with Virginia Tech, the same stadium. Nebraska will travel down there to face the Georgia Bulldogs, where Georgia is laying 8.5. This is a no-brainer for me. I don't think Nebraska is very good. I don't think their defense is that good. I don't like Taylor Martinez. He throws like a girl. And I love Georgia. I mean, Georgia could have very easily have won the SEC. They could have beaten Alabama. I think this Georgia team is very good. I think they're very capable of blowing out Nebraska. I honestly would lay up to 2 touchdowns with Georgia. Being that the spread's only 8.5, I really like it. Also feels like a great game to throw into a teaser.
Yeah, I really like Georgia. I mean, Georgia, you know, really went that out of making an argument for a BCS title. Nebraska, I mean, didn't they let up 6 points? I mean, when was that? That went long ago, right? Was there I'm looking at it.
They got housed by Wisconsin.
Yeah, they let 70 points to Wisconsin. Yeah. I don't know. 8.5 doesn't feel like that number for how crappy this Nebraska defense. So yeah, give me Georgia laying in the.
All right, Sean. Next up, the Rose Bowl game, which is now presented by Vizio. What a crappy endorsement of like the prestigious bowl game, the crappy TVs they sell at Costco. Wisconsin heads to sunny California where they will face Stanford, who. Man, Stanford turned out to be a real physical, a real dominant team. But Stanford is laying 6.5. And I got to tell you, this Wisconsin team, after starting awfully, they really turned the corner. They might be able to out-physical Stanford up front in the running game. And the spread is right at 6.5 or 7. I got to be honest, if you can get 7, grab Wisconsin in the points. 6.5, I might lay off, but either way, my play is on Wisconsin or nothing here.
I'll get a Stanford lay in 6.5. I mean, they're an instant replay away from 12-1 and defeating Notre Dame and possibly playing Alabama themselves. So,
all right,
here we go again. You got a possible national champion playing, laying the touchdown. No, I'll take that.
And lastly, for New Year's Day, the Discover Orange Bowl, where the BCS folks get their worst nightmare, and that is due to the ineptitude of the Big East, a 15th-ranked Northern Illinois team gets an automatic bid where they will face Florida State. Here's my concern with Florida State's laying 13 here. Florida State should dominate this game. Here's my concern. They might not be interested. Northern Illinois, I don't know. They're 12-1. They're a solid team, but I don't know. They're not that good. I got to be honest. I saw them play a couple games. Florida State should be able to dominate them up front on defense and on offense. I can't play anything but Florida State minus 13 here. I would probably play Florida State up to 2 touchdowns. I just can't get on the small school here. I know they're like something crazy, like 5-2 in big, the non-AQ schools are 5-2 in BCS bowl games. I can't back this Northern Illinois team.
Right. Do you believe in miracles? Give Northern Illinois. And I'm going to throw in an upset special here. Them outright, right? Feel like get a lot of bolts on. That's a sweet money line coming off 13 points. Like you said, I like FSU might be even a little bit not taking the Discover Orange Bowl seriously. Illinois. I don't know. Getting a lot of bowl games. I don't think things. I got a feeling of one team might ship at a bowl game. And if they did, like 13 points, and it's for them to win. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just have a hard time doing that. All right, Sean. Wednesday, January 2nd.
You kind of been up. You all right?
All right. You got me now?
There?
I'm there. You got me?
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the All-State Sugar Bowl, where Louisville, the winner of the Big East, Louisville, will take on the Florida Gators. Florida's laying 13.5. This is another game. Florida's defense is too good for me to not take them laying 2 touchdowns or less. I know they've had some troubles at times scoring, but Louisville's a big East team. Florida is a SEC team, and Florida, they might have the best defense in the country. I don't see much scoring coming from Louisville in this game. The total's 45.5. That might be a sneaky underplay. I know that's kind of low for me, but if anything, I'm taking Florida here. I might even take the under.
Yeah, I'm going to take Florida laying 13.5. Basically, you nailed it on the head there. I like Florida's defense. I think they're going to go up against Louisville. But yeah, 13.5 seems like a big number, but I'd cover it for it.
All right, next up, Thursday, January 3rd, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. The number 4 Oregon Ducks take on the Kansas State. What are they, the Wildcats? Man, this is a tough one. Oregon's laying 9.5 or 10. I don't know if I can, especially with the rumors about Chip Kelly leaving, will the team be on as dialed in as they could be? Who knows? Versus a Bill Snyder coach team who will be ready. They will be disciplined. They have Optimus Klein. And you're getting 9.5 or 10 points with a team that, you know, man, they basically dominated all year. With the exception of that Baylor game, this was a team that just grinded out wins. I like what they bring. I like the fact that you're getting all those points. I'm going to take Kansas State here.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas State. Most despite like Chunk Angel in order to win the BS test. Oh. It didn't. So now I'm out for revenge, and I'm going to extract it by taking Kansas State, getting a half. Right. That feels like a good rife. They can play dense and also keep somewhat with their offense. So give me or Kansas State getting a half. That's a little high.
All right, Sean. The Johnny Football-led Texas A&M Aggies will play the Oklahoma Sooners in the AT&T Cotton Bowl, which is being advertised by Fox as one of the best bowl games. Their promo is hilariously mediocre. It's like, come check out one of the best bowl games out there. Anyway, played at the Cotton Bowl. I don't see how you can go against Johnny Football. He's essentially like the Russell Wilson of college. He just gets it done. Texas A&M is a 3-point favorite. It's in Texas. It's in the Cotton Bowl. I know Oklahoma's not that far away, but give me Johnny Football.
Yep. I agree more, Ryan. Feel like got some swag. I'd like to see some Heisman against the numbers, but yeah, I feel really, really good. Johnny Fanny Fale in third and third.
I mean, when someone has that much acne and just doesn't give a fuck, you know he can ball. All right, Sean. Now, for some reason, the BBVA Compass Bowl gets the prime Saturday at 1 p.m. spot.
Oh, well, that's because they don't compete at the end of wild card.
Yeah, there's no game then, though. The wild card
doesn't start till 4:30.
Where Pittsburgh will face Ole Miss in the who gives a shit 2-6-6 teams playing a week after New Year's. I got to be honest. I don't know much about either one of these teams. Ole Miss is laying 3.5. I watched Pitt play. They have a serious running attack. I know they're from the Big East and they're playing the SEC. I'm going to take the points here. Give me Pitt in the 3.5. And I will, what I will tell you, my lock of the bowl season will be I will not watch this game.
Ryan, I agree. Meaningless game, meaningless teams, give me the points. 3-Pitt.
All right. In another meaningless game, in a primetime 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night, after the playoff games are over, the GoDaddy Bowl will have Kent State, who's ranked number 25, face Arkansas State. Another bit of a, like, why is this a bowl game that we care about on January 6th? Another one, Arkansas State's lanes 3.5. I watched Kent State play one of their games. I believe it was the championship game. They can do some things. I'm going to take the points here with Kent State, and I will also not be watching this game.
I'll agree with that as well.
All right. So last but not least, the Discover BCS National Championship, where Alabama will be facing Notre Dame. Do you know where the game is this year, Sean?
No.
Yeah, neither do I. Who cares? At the end of the day, Notre Dame. But look, I have personally witnessed the traveling power of Alabama, and everyone knows that Notre Dame travels well. 10 points is too much, Sean.
Bottom line, 10 points is way much. I mean, Notre Dame is the number team in America. You're getting 10. That's just too much. I understand if Alabama had an insane high power at all, since, but you got Ante high trophy winner, Heisman trophy candidate, deep. I don't think a trophy candidate linebacker is gonna his team get beat by 10 points. You know, well, God came to him to a dream and said to go to Notre Dame, and God came to a dream told to take Notre Dame plus 10.
Yeah, at the end of the day, both these defenses are very good. I know Notre Dame probably hasn't played the schedule that Alabama has, but, you know, they played some good teams and the defenses showed up. I just don't know. I don't think Notre Dame can win the game, but 10 points is a hell of a lot of points. For, like you said, Alabama's not exactly blowing the top off with their offense, and Notre Dame's defense can play.
Yeah, this feels like, I mean, look at total. They're saying this total's 41.5.
Yeah.
52 maybe. So
they're basically
saying
like 24-14 or something like that, you know?
Yeah, 24-17, 24-20, 28-21. There's a lot of numbers where 10 covers, so
now,
I really
that
like
being
Notre Dame.
Said, 41.5 is tremendously low for a college football game. I might have to do a little. I don't know. I think my play here is Notre Dame.
I mean, Notre Dame plus, and then maybe you're getting dangerous. You maybe Notre Dame in the over some crazy parlay. But really, really like Notre Dame plus 10 for my CCS title bid. BCS national championship pick.
Yeah.
Wait till they act the playoffs.
Is it next year or is it 2 years?
It's 2 years.
Because it's 2014, but I don't know if that means 2014 bowl season or 2014 football season.
Yeah. No, I don't know off the top of my head.
All right.
All right, Ryan. Well, took care of a lot of business, and of course, everyone in the podcast, make sure you can give us your NFL playoff picks. You can call the Sports Gambling Podcast cast line. That is 323-522-5567. You'll some sort of voicemail. It'll say, I think it's some British chick, and she say, leave a message. You that. Hopefully I can collect all the clips and put it play a preview podcast. So make sure you get in time. You guys, check out the site. Hit the Amazon link. Like I said, you can always book that. Rate us on Stitch and iTunes. We have reviews. One was by me saying really enjoyed the podcast. Yes, the other was guy who was gonna shit for going. I forget what it was like. What was it? How many games in the week? Right? 16, right?
16, yeah.
He's like, Ryan went, you know, 7-9 against Red, and Sean went 6-10. Guys, why waste pick all the give us lead blocks and move on. Yeah, right. It'd be a minute cast, sir. So if you're a fan of the show, to give us a real review.
I'm gonna review our own podcast and mention that I want 18-12-2 against with the NFL win totals this year, so he can suck it.
Yeah, and from that I went 4-1-1 with my best bets in the NFL win totals. Yeah. So you can take that and shove it up his fat ass. Of course, follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean Sackley Green. He is Ryan.
Can I say hail to the Redskins?
Kramer, let it ride.